Fred Film Radio, Sundance Film Festival, Park City, Utah.
Joining me at this time is Lyle Mitchell Corbin Jr., director of Wild Indian, which was presented at the Sundance Film Festival this year. Lyle, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
This is great. So we're going to be talking about Wild Indian, the film that you presented at Sundance this year. And am I right in saying that this is your feature debut?
Yep, it's my first feature.
And just to briefly introduce the movie, I guess, for the listeners who are not familiar with it, this is, you know, the story of the film revolves around Makwa, who is first seen as a young boy growing up in an abusive home on a Wisconsin reservation, where his only comfort is his friendship with another kid named Teddo. We witness a senseless act of violence changing both their lives forever, and for the rest of the film, we see how said act continues to resonate in the two men's adult lives. And Lyle, we'll get into that in more detail during the course of the interview, but the simple question to start a conversation with is, what was the starting point for you as exploring this story?
I was living in Berkeley, California, which is just outside of San Francisco, and I was feeling disconnected from my reservation in northern Wisconsin. It was the first place I ever lived that was like out of the state, that was kind of far away from where I grew up, which was on the Black Band Indian Reservation and the Bad River Indian Reservation. And I was just kind of imagining like what it happened or what it might look like or feel like if like a cousin came and visited me there. And then I just started kind of writing about that, and it was about basically me and my cousin kind of connecting in San Francisco, and drama ensued. Like, that was essentially it. But, as I got further and further in, more and more drafts in, it became more of a, you know, I tried to up the stakes, and it became more of a story about, you know, these two people had like a murder between them. So that was kind of the genesis of the project.
So growing up yourself, did you feel a certain frustration at how, you know, Native Americans were represented in the media, entertainment, the arts, and of course also cinema?
No, actually, you know, that's a pretty common question. No, I didn't really. I guess I liked Dances with Wolves. I liked Smoke Signals, Last of the Mohicans. But those were the only ones I was really familiar with, to be honest. I guess I watched movies to escape. And I gravitated toward films like, Lost in Translation, Rushmore, Wes Anderson films. And those were like very good sources of escapism for me, as a kid on the reservation.
No horror films then?
I like my fair share of horror. I'm not like a big, I don't know a ton, but.
Because, right. Well, as you were saying that, I recall that in the film, we do see for a moment, Makwa watching, I think, a slasher film, so that's what came in my head there.
yeah, Prowler. Yeah, that's a good film.
Right, so I'm very interested in the pivotal moment, you know, that senseless act of violence I referred to earlier, and it sort of made me think about the relationship between violence and history, whether universal or more personal. Is this something that you also think about and that perhaps influenced you when you were writing the screenplay and making the movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, historically we come from a very traumatic past. And I think reconciling that is difficult, especially when it's so recent and you can kind of see the reverberations of it. I see the ripples kind of carry on into my life. And that certainly made its way into the film, I believe.
Do you think that it's also necessary to some degree as a catalyst or a speeding process, or a part of speeding the change of history or the course of history?
I don't know. That's probably a pretty deep question that I'd have to write about to really get at, I suppose.
Okay, I'm curious about the fact that when we meet Makwa as a kid, we know him by that name, but then later I believe that we know him as Michael. Was that a way of addressing the way in which, you know, Native Americans, but also other people, I guess, are forced to adapt in order to integrate?
Yeah, definitely. I think Michael struggles in a way that, or Makwa struggles in a way that, he puts his whole identity behind him. The only identity he has is the one that he can use. It's all, it only goes as deep as what he can use to like further himself and his career forward, or not even his career, just like the image of himself that he wants to project. In this case, he's using, I suppose, a denotable Native American identity.
So identity is essential part of the film to you?
No, not necessarily. I think that it's a tool that Muckley uses.
And then the other theme that I wanted to discuss with you is this theme of the past coming back to haunt you. Do you think about that while you're making films? I mean, is this a theme that interests you? And what is it that interests you about it, if it does?
I don't know. You know, I think the film explores the past, you know, just in general, how the past can affect anyone, you know. In Mukwa's case, you know, he has this terrible thing that he did 35 years ago. And he also has this childhood that he ran away from, and he had this life that he ran away from. And instead of doing that, he also ran away from the history of his family and his people. And I think that he ran away from both the good and the bad. So I think that's the way that the past plays into the film. Mukwa wants to be a man with no past. And he's a man that has a very rich past that he can't escape.
But the past is something that it's difficult to escape from, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Impossible.
Do you somehow understand that? Do you feel the same concerns of maybe escaping the past?
Oh, sure. I mean, I grew up in schools where there was a lot of fighting, a lot of violence, you know, between the boys. And I was no stranger to fist fights growing up. But I don't necessarily think that has much to do with the trauma of my people. I think it was just the way that boys kind of grew up. And I think I do have a little bit of I think about that a lot. I do think about a lot about that time. That does affect my work. You know, it does kind of. I suppose I do kind of feel like I'm running away from a little bit of like a violent self or a violent, not past, but just like there was a time where fist fights and things on basically essentially the playground were pretty pretty common. But I guess I don't necessarily feel guilty in the sense that, you know, I did anything wrong, because a lot of times you're just defending yourself. But it's stupid, you know. It's stupid because it's like, you know, you're 10 11 12 13 years old, and kids are just kind of like pushy, you know, and they'll hit. So that's kind of what I was writing, but that's funny that you brought that up. So that is kind of, I had some fist fight scenes between the kids that I had to cut out because we couldn't figure out how to make that happen.
Right. No, I understand that. I grew up in the Irish countryside, so I unfortunately also was involved in a few fights as a kid.
Yeah.
I wonder though, you know, I do kind of wonder why that is. I mean, do you think that that's also part of like being, like there's a masculine thing about it? It's almost like a ritual.
Yeah. You're testing the boundaries of violence and masculinity and manhood and like all the things that come with that.
We mentioned this is your first feature, your feature debut. And of course you wrote the screenplay as well as directed the film. Does that mean that you already had a clear vision of what Wild Indian would be like when you stepped onto the set?
I was never very good at structuring things beforehand. Now I do it when I write something new. But at the time, how I started it was just, like I said, I was writing about feelings I had. That was really the genesis of it. I didn't know where the story was going to go. I didn't know how it was going to end up. I just knew that there was a story between two men, like between those two characters that I was writing about, that I would have to reconcile.
Do you enjoy the writing process?
I love writing. Yeah, I do.
Because some people would say that it's a lonely process. It's not an easy part, but you seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, but that's life. You know, life is lonely and it's long. You know, but writing is a way to, I guess, meditate and mediate on things.
And I understand that I think you said that you don't start off with a fully formed idea. So you don't have a structure. You just start writing and see what happens. It's a very organic process.
When I write stuff like Wild Indian, yeah, that's very true. And like some of my short films, like actually both my short films that are most well known, Shinab and Shinab Part 2, were also kind of just, I started them, didn't know where they were going.
And you know, this may seem like a very simple question, but I love to find out details like this. Do you write with pen on paper or on the computer?
When I wrote Wild Indian, I was completely on the computer. Now I have like about 50 notebooks filled with structures and things like that.
50.
yeah, probably.
All right. Right. So, I mean, I also wanted to take some time to talk about the acting in this movie, which I thought was really wonderful. I asked you whether you had the idea of the film fully formed in your head. But now I'd love to ask you, was this the cast that you had in mind from the start?
For Chaske Spencer as Teto, that was the cast. That was who I wanted in that role. For Mukwa, the idea of Michael came later, but as soon as I kind of realized it was him, before I'd ever met him or reached out to him about the script, before I realized that he was the right guy, I wrote a few drafts with him in mind.
Right, Michael Gray Eyes, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Gray Eyes.
He was absolutely stellar, and I felt the ambiguity of his performance recalled to a cinephile like me the expressionism of such fine actors as Conrad Veidt, for example. You know, the type of, you know, acting that you don't know quite whether you should side with him or not. There's sort of that ambiguity. Was that an intentional part of the film for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was very a gray film. Yeah, it was designed like that. It was designed to be divisive. And from everything I've been reading, it was successful in that regard.
You don't believe that there are bad or good people in the world, and I seem to understand from the film.
Yeah.
And just getting back to Michael's performance, was this something that you guys worked on? I mean, what was that process like? Did you have any conversations going in about maybe connecting with the past or something like that? What were the conversations you guys had beforehand?
Well, Michael just understood the script. He knew what I was going for. And, you know, our conversations were great. I mean, they were all like, you know, we started off on the same page and we ended on the same page. You know, it was... In terms of, you know, talking about performance, it was, we knew how he had to be portrayed. You know, Michael came in and killed it. You know, I think Michael is somebody that you see and you like him. Like, he's like a very likable person and you like trust him. And to put him in a role where he's not really to be trusted, it plays with your conceptions of it.
Right, yeah.
Of the role, yeah.
One final question about the filming process. Did you have much time to film? Was it a difficult process? Did you enjoy it?
It was 18 and a half days.
Wow.
So it was very quick. It's hard to say if I enjoyed it. I love making films, and that was a great process. I certainly enjoyed working with like Michael and Chaske. I'm not implying that I didn't like the process. It was just like so quick. I want to go back and do it again. It was like, it was such a rewarding experience, you know, but it was tough to do so fast, but so I didn't really have a lot of time to just sit there and be like, this is, how I want the film to play out. It's kind of like you were on the ground. You had to start shooting immediately. And to, you know, get through, you know, 8 pages in a day. So it was like one of those processes that was very, very quick, but also very, very beautiful. Cause you know, working with Chaske and Michael and the two boys, I mean, you know, they got the script and they just wanted to bring what they could to it.
And when you say you love making films, what do you love about it?
I mean, everything. It's tough to say because it's like, you know, it, you know, I love writing. I even like, even though this is a pain, I even like the business part of it. And I like the, and especially when you're on set, things move so fast, you have no time to think, like I was just describing. But there's like I can't call it enjoyment because it's not like I'm like, woohoo, this is fun. It's more like, it's like a relaxing feeling of like, you only have a certain number of options you can do and you have to take them. And it's like you're making creative decisions on a snap and you can't really think about them. That's just so fun. I love the pressure of that. And I love like seeing it at the end of the day. And it's like, wow, you actually got really beautiful stuff, even though you weren't like, you know, sitting there feeling everything that was like passing through the camera.
Lyle, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Matt.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.